Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 530-710-0765. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio, back on Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We're here joined by many of our friends. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Don't be shy. You want everybody in computer land.
Yeah, remember, computers are our friends. And because they're our friends, they also, we had terms in the military. And it's buddy, we call it, is just half the word. So,
thank yous. Should we start with thank yous?
We want to start to a lot of thank yous, of course. We have this, our group of camera people here that put us up on YouTube every week with Fred and Tony. And we have a new people today with Tom, Derek.
Thank you, guys.
And then, of course, our audience today. Thank you very much for showing up.
And our producers.
Our producers.
Morgan and Brad.
And Brad.
Thank you so much.
And I assume that we're streaming right now. Is that right, Brad? We're streaming right now, right? Okay.
I want to also thank Wonderland Signs, because Wonderland Signs just created and made this beautiful poster for us. Freedom isn't free. Thank you to our troops and vets, and that's what today is all about. We also want to thank them for the poster back here, and also for the people who are hosting today, Joe and Shelley. Shall we give them a hand? Thank you so much for...
Okay, you know, today, you know, we talk about some issues that can be somewhat cantankerous. But today, we're devoting our show to thanking those people who's put their lives on the lines for our country since 1776. Our warriors that are on active duty right now and our veterans who served so ably through over 200 years that our country has been here. Right now, as we speak, there's two wars going on that a lot of people don't seem to realize, that these wars that are going on in Iraq and in Afghanistan continue as we speak here. Well, we're going to have a great parade tomorrow out at the city of Shasta Lake. I think it's the largest parade north of Fresno. It's going to be a great time, and while we're doing that, we're enjoying ourselves. There's war going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we can't ever forget that, which is why, you know, we're here to say thank you, and we're going to be thanking individuals, we're going to be talking to individuals, but we have such a great veterans community here in the North State, and many of them are here today, and we're going to be talking to them for the things that they do to help our veterans in the community.
Afterwards, we'll have a few announcements also, as well as things that are happening at the packaging project, Christmas for the troops. We just met a gentleman who's got this incredible boat that, it's not even a boat, I don't even know what to call it. It's a hydro machine that is incredible. And so many people do come forth that they want to do things to support the veterans, to draw attention to making sure that we never forget and we always honor. So when we introduce our guest today, the cordless microphones are to go out in the house and ask questions. If somebody comes up and you need to ask a question, raise your hand. We'll ask you your name. We'll ask you, you know, who you're posing the question for or about. But we'll use the cord microphones because I think they have a better quality. Yeah.
And you don't have to give your real name, as we found out many times in the past. And then, unless you say something that's really interesting, then we will give your name to the rest of the people. But Rick, would you mind coming up here first?
Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Boatwright.
Rick Boatwright. Now, many of you all say this man looks familiar, but you're not sure why. All right.
Don't be afraid of the big mic.
Rick heads up something called Semper Fi to an organization. And these gentlemen... And it is men. There's no women in the organization yet, even though that I know your beautiful wife.
Actually, there are.
Oh, okay.
Sergeant Strudel from the Igo Cemetery is one of our board members. She, prior service Marine, And she's been very responsible for our training SOP. She managed to gather information from 8th and I, and it's helped us to have a little more ceremonial approach to what we do than standard Marine Corps procedure.
Well, tell everybody what Semper Fi II does.
We are a Memorial Honor Guard. We provide support for active duty military units at Igo Veterans Cemetery. By law, the flag has to be folded and passed by an active duty unit. So that means that if it's a Marine's funeral, the Marines, a reserve unit out of Sacramento, will send people up. They will fold the flag. But they never send enough people to do a complete service. And if we aren't there, the service is done by a pre-recorded tape run through a PA system. What we provide are volleys and taps live. We use M1 Garand rifles and a bugle to complete the service. A military service consists of a flag, volleys, and taps, and we're there to make sure that the service is done properly. And we support the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, whatever active duty unit comes to town for the service, we're there in their support. And right now, it's very, very difficult for all of these units to field a big enough team to do a full funeral. So quite often we combine forces between Navy and Marine Corps and Army just to get one service done. We're squeaking for manpower. And I guess our biggest need right now is to get more people that are willing to become involved in this. And hopefully with time and familiarity, we'll get some people that want to step up.
Well, Rick, I have a question. I wonder if anybody here or everybody here knows, how many times is the flag folded, and what is the reason behind? Is it 13 times?
13.
How many?
13.
And the
You're
going
to ask me all the meanings of the folds, and I don't know.
I'm not asking you the meanings, but is there a reason it's 13?
That it comes back to a hat shape, and the flag can be folded 13 times by its dimension to achieve that. Now, the original 13 colonies, there's some meaning to that. There's actually a number of interpretations, but the 13 colonies is probably the most common.
Well, Sergeant, let me add there is that she asked you a question. You weren't quite sure of all the answer, but you had most of it. Most of the time when Linda asked me a question, I have no idea what the answer is. So you did. You're like 100% better than I am right now.
The trick is just to make things up as you go, and if nobody catches you, you're good, and if they do catch you, then it's a matter of opinion.
Be very positive in what you say. You know.
Welcome to radio.
So that means if I read that teleprompter over there, that I can be believed by everybody.
It's
if
happened.
I can read the teleprompters,
it's
real
happened.
Well.
It's happened.
Oh, it's happened. Okay. Okay, Rick. How many services a week would you say you do? This is an average.
Six this week. We've done over 200 this year.
Okay, you've done 200 this year, and of course you get paid for each one of these services, right?
Yes, we do. Every time that I pass the casings to the next of kin, the widow, daughter, son, the look that I get from those people is my pay. I can't explain to you how gratifying it is to do this. There's no way to duplicate the feeling you get when you provide something for someone. This is the last time. This is a parting from a next of kin. This is their last time they're going to be near that person. And to be allowed to be part of that, to be involved in it, is an honor beyond description. And the fact that we're able to do it in a military service is even better yet. We care more about what we're doing. The particular job that we've undertaken does not allow for indifference. The people I work with every day care very, very much about this. If you don't care, you don't belong there. We have to care 100% about why we do this, and we're there through a lot of hardship for everybody, quite frankly, financial and schedules, and some of my people live in Red Bluff. They have to drive to Igo, they'll do a service, and they'll drive back to Red Bluff. I have people who punch out for lunch at work. I have people who miss work. I have people who jeopardize their jobs just to come out there and perform a service because we're scraping the bottom as far as manpower. Believe me, these people believe in what they're doing, and they thoroughly enjoy it. And if you ever had the opportunity to kneel in front of somebody who's just received a flag, you'd understand everything I'm saying.
You know, the only thing I can say is thank you for you and your fellow Marines and Semper Fi too. You mean so much to this community. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And
his beautiful wife, Linda, who was there all the time, too, helping. So thank you very much, Linda.
The truth of the matter is that this would not happen without her. She takes care of everything. All I have to do is march out there and go bang. She takes care of everything else. And believe me, it's a huge, huge job.
Thank you very, very, very much. And Rick is on his way out to another ceremony at about 2 o'clock today. Is that correct?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for everything you do.
For your service.
And Rick is a retired Marine Sergeant, retired Vietnam veteran, so he's here. Now, we'd like to also, there's other organizations here that you've heard of, and one of them, and I'm going to embarrass him, and it's, I'm going to be even more embarrassed because he's left. Where'd he go? He's right outside. So we'll get to him. We'll get to him in a minute. We have Dave Lanford here. And Dave is the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. And so, Dave, I'd like you to come up for a few minutes here.
Welcome, and Dave Lanford.
Thank you, Cole.
Okay, now, Dave is one of those people that works to take care of veterans. He's low-key. A lot of people don't even know who he is. But without Dave and his office, so many of our veterans would not be taken care of as well as they're being taken care of. It's like Rick Boatwright. You can't pay them enough to do the type of jobs that they do. So welcome here, Dave, and I appreciate you showing up.
Thank you very much.
Well, one of the things we wanted to talk about here for the next few minutes is what's coming down the road that's going to impact favorably or unfavorably on our veterans right here in Shasta County?
Well, a couple of things I'd like to talk about. First is a recent action by the Secretary of Veterans Affairs added 3 presumptive conditions to the presumptive list of disabilities that are associated with herbicide exposure, Agent Orange. So that impacts our Vietnam veterans quite heavily. So we have now, on the presumptive list, we have actually 15 conditions. And the 3 items that were recently added were Parkinson's disease, B-cell carcinomas, and, I have to look at my list, sorry, ischemic heart disease. So that brings the total now of presumed conditions, and that's important, presumed conditions that are associated with herbicide exposure. This means basically when we file a claim, we don't have to fight with the VA for this. This is in law presumed to be associated. All I need is a guy to have boots in the dirt. So this impacts quite a number of our vets. The VA has asked us now, however, to, until they develop their internal procedures to handle the onslaught of claims, to just kind of hold off on that. But if you know anybody served in Vietnam, boots in the dirt, with any of these 3 new conditions, please head them in our direction to the County Veterans Service Office. Also, one of the things that's really impacting us now is pension claims for our seniors. Now, many of us probably don't remember years ago, probably in the late 70s, early 80s, we began to lose our World War I veterans. Many of them, along with their widows, entered assisted living facilities and nursing homes. And so when they passed on, we kind of lost the bubble on this. So today what's happening is now our World War II veterans in large numbers are being entered into assisted living facilities, nursing homes, and that sort of thing. And there's a program for war-era veterans called Non-Service-Connected Pension, and it has an aid and attendance clause, an allowance clause, along with that pension claim. So my outreach effort now is to reach the children of these war-era veterans because they're the ones that are going to be helping the parents, the nieces, the nephews. So that's my big effort now, to get the word out there to let them know that there is a program, a financial aid program, that will help with the cost of the assisted living. A group that are completely off the radar in terms of VA benefits are the widows of these war-era veterans, and they're the toughest group to try to locate. They are, too, also eligible for benefits under this program. So, you know, if the audience knows of any, please send them in our direction. We partner right now with roughly 60 assisted living facilities in Shasta County to include senior placement service agencies to try to make contact. And I know we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. And what's coming down the pike for us is that the World War II guys are real close to the Korean War guys, who are real close to the Vietnam veteran guys. So that group combined is roughly about 14 million to include their widows. So you can understand the volume of what we're talking about here and the impact on our assisted living facilities and nursing homes.
So what we're going to do is we're going to get the information that Dave's been giving. Plus, you can go to the website, freefireradio.com, and you can listen to this show again and again on our archives. It'll be up early next week or earlier. And, you know,
also,
and
thanks to Fred for that, because Fred puts that together, and it's on YouTube, and it'll be on our site. They'll be, it'll be connected, Facebook, YouTube, all of that, with usually a 10-minute snippet of this show, and then plus it'll go right to our website, which will be the hour-long audio.
And one of the things we want to do, though, is be able to provide, you know, be kind of like a little clearinghouse for information for our veterans, and we've got different veterans organizations that we have links to. But on something like this, we'll get the information from Dave. We'll just have, like, you know, a spot right there from Shasta County Veteran Service Officer that puts in, and he'll just update that as he can, even though Dave's like the one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest. You know, he's got to work extra hard just to keep up, and he's got to watch his back at the same time. So, anybody have any questions right now for Dave before we go on? Okay. And Greg Raffa, who is a well-known veterans advocate.
Mr. Lamford, could you address the issue on OEF, OIF veterans on the depleted uranium registry, and also BTI, short-term memory on brain trauma injuries?
Well, I can.
And also vaccine A illnesses, sir.
You betcha. Oh, but what I'd, how we answer that question, he's got pretty technical information, and I'll answer it this way. With their, the VA outpatient clinic has an OIF, OEF outreach representative, a coordinator, Dr. Leah Tate. And so for our young guys, our OIF, OAF veterans, you know, if they haven't already made contact with the VA clinic, they need to make contact with the clinic, talk to this outreach coordinator, and arrange for those very things that Greg's talking about. The special examinations for the uranium, depleted uranium, those are brand new special exams that the VA is currently doing for traumatic brain injury and the depleted uranium issues as well. So and when I talk about special exams, historically the VA has had four primary, what we call protocol examinations. Prisoners of war get a protocol exam. Those exposed to herbicide agents get a protocol exam. Those exposed to radiation also get the protocol exam. And the final one was the undiagnosed illnesses from the first Gulf War. That's also a protocol exam. So these are two more exams now that have been added into the mix. So in terms of what we would do in terms of filing claims, there was not much difference what we would do in filing a claim for someone who wants to file for depleted uranium or traumatic brain injury. The process is pretty much similar. But I would definitely hook them up with this protocol exam.
If I could comment on that, being a young veteran of this last war, I went into the VA, and one of the things they'd asked me if I'd ever been exposed to depleted uranium. Depleted uranium, as maybe some people don't know, was a type of shells we were using on tanks and armored personnel carriers, and it can cause, or they believe it can cause problems, or it does cause problems. Well, one of the things, when I said I'd been exposed, to smoke of it, I was given a test for depleted uranium. And then after this last tour in Iraq, the traumatic brain injury test were also given. But you have to go down there and show up. It doesn't do any good to talk about it. So if you've got young associates or even older associates that have been in the Gulf War or in Iraqi Freedom or been in Afghanistan and they're getting out, they need to go down to the VA, they need to sign up, and they need to take these tests. They're more than happy. They'll schedule you. They'll get you right in there for it. But you need to do that.
Just one more comment, Greg, on that. We haven't lost sight of our OIF, OAF veterans, but Redding compared to San Diego or Los Angeles, we're really, and I mean this fondly because, you know, my heroes are the World War II guys and the Korean War guys. We're really a geriatric community up here, so we don't have the volume of the OIF, OAF veterans that, say, San Diego does or Los Angeles.
Geriatric, you're talking about your friends, yeah, right?
Pretty much your age, Carl. But
excuse me.
So anyway, that's the volume I'm talking about is dealing now with those very senior World War II, Korean War, and now we've already placed some Vietnam veterans in assisted living. So they're coming right down to Pike Hall, so there's, you know, we got to watch out for
us. Yeah. I mean, we should make, like, reservations for Rob Burrows. He was there.
Right. That's so. Right. So anyway, before I forget, this list I produced down at my office. Yeah, I'll give it to anybody that wants to come in that's interested in it. I'm going to leave it here with Carl.
And we're going to scan it and put it on our website so you can take a look at the newest diseases that have come as a result of right. Agent Orange exposure for the Vietnam vets. Okay, you know, we could do hours with Dave, but we have so many other people here we want to talk to. Dave, any last words here on this?
Just to let everybody know that uses our services, we got a new facility coming online for us. Those of you that know where the old library used to be on West and Shasta, the district attorney has taken the upstairs. It's being renovated below for us. It expands my capability by about 1,000 square feet. In the design process, we included additional space for vet reps and also volunteers and work studies. So the future kind of looks good if the money holds up for veteran services.
Right.
Well,
wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, wait a minute. One last thing. Dave is retiring.
I am.
Dave's leaving.
I'm
the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. His wife's over there cheering.
See, I'm not sure I'm retiring. That's the
word. Yeah, he's not retiring. It's not the right word because they probably will never let him go. He's going to be attached to it. But we'll be leaving the office early February.
Well, that's pretty close, yeah.
Something like that.
You'll always have one foot in.
Sort of.
Yes.
Well, but the thing is that I think that I just really hope that our Board of Supervisors select somebody with the drive, the determination, and the love for the veterans like Dave has, and he deserves a huge round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I say something before we introduce our next guest? Thank you, Dave.
Sure.
Hold up.
Yes, ma'am.
I've always been a patriotic person, and I'm not sure if it's because I married a retired colonel in the Marine Corps. I don't know if it's because I moved to Reading and I started to hang out here at Tobacco and Brew and ride with the Patriot Guard riders and hold a flag. And I'm not sure what's happened to me, but I think I'm just gone into like turbo patriotism in my life. And the other day I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, a very good friend, and I got emotional, and I don't know why. I said, the best times of my life is when I'm doing my music and or I'm doing something with the veterans, because these people are the true heroes in our country. These are the people who have laid their lives on the line so that we can be a free country in America. And I am so thrilled that we get a chance to be able to do something like this to honor our veterans and those people who are involved in helping veterans. So I think that's very appropriate to introduce someone who I think is pretty special, and that was voted Veteran of the Year.
Rob Burrows. Come on up, Rob.
Put your hands together for a very handsome.
And Rob has been doing a number of things. Rob had the opportunity to serve with me in Iraq. He's never been the same. Even though we didn't really know each other, he still claims that he saw me at one point in a meeting. And I thought, wow, that could have been. You know, there's a lot of meetings going on then.
Is Commander Gibson leaving?
Is Commander Gibson leaving? Oh, he may be.
Okay, well, that's true. I know we're going to do this, but you know he's cuttlefish guy.
That's fine.
Well, look at you. You are amazing. Do you know that? Every time I see you, we do have to talk about the Veteran Museum, because what you're doing is an amazing thing for our country, our North State. And how did you come about? You're the brainchild behind this and the energy. So could you give us a little bit of when the you've got, did you bring your rendering?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, we'll make sure we do a show about that. But
well, to begin with, I grew up in a World War II family. My dad served during World War II as a gunner's mate on a Liberty ship. My mom worked with the United States Navy as a secretary down in Stockton. And so growing up, I was just inundated with everything from World War II, the stories, just things that took place, the heritage. I had great uncles that were Seabees at Guadalcanal and Saipan in Okinawa. And my great-grandfather was a doughboy in France for the Army during World War I. So the heritage goes a long way back. And so it's my brother served during Vietnam in the Navy as an airedale. And so there's just been a lot of heritage. After serving my second tour in Iraq and being there as a convoy commander and prior to the surge and seeing what was happening on the roads and in the towns and what we were doing, and then to come back and see what was not taking place, hearing the stories about different things that took place that were not true, because we were there, we were on the ground, we were in the communities, we were with the Iraqi soldiers, working with the different organizations, and to have lost the friends that I lost there, their story needed to be told. And so to honor my father and other veterans from World War II, and to keep this memory alive, and to tell the story of how the veterans actually served, what their sacrifice was, I developed a program called the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And the whole idea behind this story, behind this program, is to tell the veteran's story from the veteran's point of view. It's not so much about tanks and airplanes and different things like that. It's about the veteran's story. It's about their pictures. It's about where they served. It's about what they did and what they brought back. The items that we have help enhance their stories. It's not about something that's sitting on a shelf. It's about the story of the veteran as people read where they were and what they did and what they sacrificed and what they endured. And the men that didn't come back and the men that did come back that are here with us today, it's about telling their story and making sure that our society does not forget. Where we are right now in this country is there's too many people take our freedom for granted, and too many people have stepped out and paid the price, and nobody is saying anything about that. And so this is our opportunity to say, hey, listen, this is what it's all about.
Right.
And Rob is, and Rob did do this. He started this on his own, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate everything you've done. Plus, Rob is always out at the IGO, helping in the ceremonies out there, and has become an integral part of that also.
Well, just it's so important for, we really don't have a lot of good Navy representation up here in the North State. A lot of our Navy bases have been downsized throughout California, and it's either to the south or to the north. Yesterday was actually performed my 500th the Naval Service Honor Service here just in the North State area.
And there's, you know, at IGO is so important to our community, and we're talking about Maurice Johansson and so many other people that helped to get that out there. You can't, you know, there's just so many, but the day-to-day activities that are out there are so important, and people like Sergeant Rick Boatwright and Senior Chief Rob Burrows are the reason it keeps working, along with the regular people out there. I don't want to take anything away from them, but these are people that are in our community that live here and have are devoting themselves to our veterans and our veterans who have passed away.
These are our veterans that we live with every single day. These are the veterans that live here in our community. They've served. They've been here their entire life. And so this is just my opportunity to pay forward to them, to say thank you to their families and to let them know that, you know, our representation from the United States Navy is that we're saying thank you to them for their service, thank you to their family for honoring that service, and for us to be able to be there. It's a privilege for us to be out there and to be able to perform these honors for these fallen veterans.
It's an honor to have you up here. Now, how can people help with the museum?
Well,
you've got a website.
We do. It's okay. Northern California VeteransMuseum.org, and we would encourage anybody. We're in the process of putting a brand new page up, so there's going to be a little bit of a transition right now. We are prepared to the building we're looking at is going to be opening up in Shasta Lake City. We're going to be they're remodeling it right now. We're going to be going into it April May time frame, and we're going to be open to the public August of 2010. So we are 9 months out from opening to the public. We're going to try to be opening at 9/11/2010. So we're just very excited about it. We've been working on this project for just about a year and a half right now. We're less than 2 years old with this organization, and yet we've been able to just streamline and move ahead. I want to say thank you to the city of Shasta Lake for working with us and with Wade McMaster's with the Wintu Indian Toyon Group. They have been, they're a partner with us, and they've invited us to come in and have a museum alongside of their museum for you, for our veterans, for our, this community.
That's incredible.
Well, again, thank you very much, Rob. And what we want to do is, we, of course, we'll link Rob on our website to that, and anything that we can do at Free Fire Radio.
We'll do a whole show about it, because we'd love
to have our
audience see the artist renderings, and we'll do some fundraisers. We'll do it
we'll
all.
We'll just go there.
Awesome.
We'll do it.
That'd be great.
Because Brad swears to me that he can take this on the road at any place.
That'd be fantastic.
As long as we can get it started here. Okay. Rob, thank you so much.
Another hero, Rob Burrows.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we'd like to introduce some other people here. Some people that are well-known in the community, and if they're not, they should be.
Big hero of mine.
I'm trying to get here, so I'm not covering everybody up. Commander James Gibson, who, if there's a veterans event, the commander is here. He represents the Cuttlefish Society, and aren't you the president of the Shasta County Veterans Organization here?
Shasta County Veterans Affiliated Council, which hopefully represents a majority of the veterans organizations in Shasta County. We do several things during the year. We just had a fun thing. We honored Jack Tolbert, a true hero of this area, and made him Shasta County Veteran of the Year. It was quite an honor. Our submarine group does things for scholarships. We support things at Butte and Shasta College. We support a national scholarship program. We have about 40 members, and we run around here in blue vests, and we're all prima donnas, and we all think we're something special.
Would you like to introduce your wife?
I would love to. Mary Lou is, as Rick Boatwright said, without her, I'm just a functioning entity. She does most of everything we do, and she's done this for 58 years, of which 22 was a Navy wife raising my kids.
Thanks. 58 years. That's worth something right there. Mary Lou, you deserve a bevy of medals then.
I was out one time, just real quick, I was out one time fishing with my good friend Jim Logan, the pastor, and I said, it's our 49th wedding anniversary coming up. I said, Jim, I don't know, we've been married so long, we've got everything, what shall I get for Mary Lou? He said, why don't you try the Congressional Medal of Honor?
Well,
it doesn't
thank
get better
so
than
much,
that.
Commander, for everything you do. And Mary, you thank you.
Commander
so much.
Gibson, thank you so much.
We're going to move around some more here. And by the way, Dave, introduce your beautiful bride, because I know she puts up with a lot.
This is my wife, Deb Lanford.
Deb Lanford, I'm sorry, for some reason it blocked out, but go ahead.
This is Deb.
Yes, thank you so much for your support with Dave.
And we're going to just keep embarrassing people to walk around. Another gent here, Bruce Compton, who was the original head, the original captain, and I think the state captain of the Patriot Guard Riders. Welcome aboard, Bruce.
Thank you, Paul. I don't know what to say. Thank everybody for your service, and a greater bunch of people in the world, there are none. I love you all, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, Greg's been on here before, but stand up, Greg. Greg is another one of our veterans that is always at the events, is working hard.
MCing, putting things together.
Oh, yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Greg.
Well, I'm an Air Force brat. I was in the United States Navy aboard the USS Enterprise during the Vietnam War, and my wife and I are celebrating our 40th coming up, and she's also an Air Force brat, and that's all I'd like to tell you.
Thanks
the
a lot,
rest
Greg.
Will have to get to know. Thank you.
You know, we're going to work our way over here. You know, we just talked to Bruce about being the one that started the Patriot Guard Riders.
Our current captain of the North State here is Jeff Nelson.
It wasn't my idea. I got forced into this deal, so stepped up and trying to take over and fill some big shoes that Bruce got started here, and it's been a real challenge. But I was just looking through some of the archives, and I figured we've ridden for veterans over 250 services in the last 2 years. So we're keeping real busy.
Now let's talk a little bit about the Patriot Guard riders. You know, these were this organization was started for one reason, and it was to combat a group of people. I don't know if combat is the right word, but it was face off with this strange sect out of Kansas that would go to military, would go to military funerals, and then would stand there and say the most horrible things. They had signs that said, you know, God wants your Marine dead. And that's what started the Patriot Guard. And the Patriot Guard then would get between people on this sect and then with flags in their bodies to let the people know that they were cared for, that, you know, that we did care about our veterans and that this small group of crazy people should never, ever run the service of one of our fallen warriors.
Yeah, it's... We can be thankful for this fanatic group because that's what started the Patriot Guard. It's something that should have been done many years ago. And so now we are showing these honors to our veterans that are passing away. And we've had three incidents here in the North County dealing with that same group, the last one being over in Douglas City for the fallen firefighters last year. We had 13 firefighters. And they showed up, and we're going to do the disruption and so forth. And we had 41 of our people standing there in front of them with all flags. So the actual ceremony, they never even knew the people were there. It never made the newspapers. We just blocked them visually and kept them away so there's no chanting or anything. So the service went on without disruption.
And, you know, and the Patriot Guard riders are there are other organizations, too, because it's not just the Patriot Guard riders. You have the Old Guard riders, the American Legion, Missing in America Project. Everybody kind of comes together to honor our veterans. You know, even though there may be different names, it's all the same thing. It's to love and to support our veterans and our fallen warriors. Jeff, thank you so much. You also have a...
And also thank you to the MIAP and the Old Guard and what are the other? American Legion.
We got Hall Group, Star Groups.
All the riders. The patch on the back. All these.
It only means one thing. Take care of our warriors. Okay, here's somebody else here. That is a retired colonel who is also big in our community here.
Well, Carl, it's good to be here. I spent my 28 years.
Wait a minute, let me say, I thought you were this is Ron Largent.
Ron Largent.
And is a retired Air Force colonel.
So spent my 28 years in the Air Force. Started out in during the Vietnam time and then ended up doing some very interesting duties. I spent 19 years as a liaison officer for the Air Force Academy recruiting young people to come into the academy. And that was fascinating. My very first entry came from Redding, and he was the first Air Force Academy applicant that went to the academy and ultimately graduated from the academy. And then my last 10 years I was in the Pentagon. So I haven't done the exciting things that some of you have been involved with, but my work in the Pentagon was I worked with the Air Force Test Pilot Program. And so now when I watch the program with the astronauts, I was part of that in the basement of the Pentagon. And it was fascinating work. It's nothing very exciting and all that kind of stuff, but I have very fond memories of it. And I try to stay as active as I can in the Air Force Reserve. I frequently go down to Travis. I'm participating in their program, and I'm part of the Military Officers of America Association. And in fact, we're looking for some younger people to join MOAA.
Which is why I was invited.
There you go. But I'll be out at the, I believe that we just have to keep talking about the value of the military service. And, of course, something like what happened yesterday is so important.
We're going to be discussing that in a few minutes. So.
But the military offers so much. Of course, being a little partial towards the Air Force, I'm saying the Air Force offers a great deal, but all the services do. It's an education opportunity for our young people. It's a chance to get practical job experience. There's nothing like it, really. I just am so I so value the time I had in the military. But tomorrow we got the big parade.
Big parade
at 10 o'clock at Shasta Lake City, and then of course the activities on Veterans Day out at the cemetery.
That's right. We're going to be talking
about
that.
I'll be there and doing my part to support the veterans in whatever any way I can. But thank you guys for doing this.
Well, thank you very much, Ron.
Thank you so much.
We've got a couple more here that have been involved and who's just turned his back on us. Marty, say hello.
Hi, and thanks for the program. This is terrific.
Marty was in the Air Force during the Vietnam era and did a lot of support work for our people right there. He wasn't in country, but he was right next there where they have strange things happening, but you don't really know about it till later. So we thank you so much for what you did.
Thank you, Colonel.
Colonel.
Well, we also want to talk about something that's really exciting that's coming up, and I'm going to go ahead and make this announcement before we get into what happened, which I'm sure we all probably have some kind of feeling deep inside that we got to get out, is November 21st, we're going to be doing an event called Christmas for the Troops. What this is a night for us to get together and have a good time with the Sons of Italy. They're called the A-Team. They're doing a pasta cook, dishes, and the Lou White Band, and Santa's going to make an appearance, and the helpers, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a bar and all that stuff. But we're packaging Christmas presents for those who are deployed serving our country right now. We do have names. We're gathering more names. We need you guys to get the word out because we need to find out more names of people we know. We can't really get them because of
a lot of times military will not give out the names of those people serving, but we have a whole bunch of names already, but we would like to have more. And the way we do that is from our veterans and the people that are here that says, well, I know somebody that's serving, it's somebody that's deployed. Then their name goes on a package, and I tell you what, there's been a lot of wonderful presents put together to help or to send to our deployed warriors, male or female. Yeah.
Including some goodies recently from Shelley at Tobacco and Blue. They're going to get some rather exciting cigars and candies and coffees. And so that's what we're still looking for things to package, and that's November 21st. We've got tickets for sale here. It's $7 for adults, $5 for kids, a great family outing. So please support us in supporting the troops, and we could all have a good time sending those packages.
And we're going to have, like we said, it'll be dinner first, and we put the packages together, and you can write Christmas cards. You can write sentiments on them. They go into it. They're going to get like a little pine cone that's been sprayed with something that smells like Christmas. And so, which will make the drug dogs crazy when they're going through. But essentially, it will be a thank you from the North State to our warriors out there. And it's going to be like a personal thank you, not just to, any of you guys and girls, which we've always appreciated. But it was it's something from us to them. And there's been a lot of work put in it, and it's going to happen November 21st, 5 o'clock down at Yuba at the Vet Center on Yuba Street.
And
like I said, all the money for the tickets and everything that's donated goes right into the program because people are doing this for free. So it's not like 10% or 15%; it's 100%. Okay, there's a couple other things too that was handed to me. There's going to be a dedication ceremony at the student senate of Shasta College. Is going to have a dedication service on Wednesday, November 11th at 2 p.m. for, I think it's a garden out there, a grove out there, in honor of our veterans. So on November 11th, which is so many other things going on that day, because you also know at 11 o'clock out at IGO, Veterans Day ceremony. So then you can go from there to Shasta College at 2
for their dedication to the Grove. And the out at the veteran ceremony out at IGO, the 11th month, the 11th day, the 11th hour. And for our veterans out there, there's going to be speakers from the United States Marine Corps youth speaker. There's going to be
Rob Burrows.
Rob, you're going to be out there speaking. We're going to have bands. We're going to have all types of great events in memory and in commemoration of our veterans. So please join us out there. Now, see. We're going to talk about something that happened yesterday, but I need to introduce one other person here that thought he was going to get out of it. Dave.
Thank you, Carl. Well, I was in the Navy during Vietnam, served aboard a guided missile cruiser offshore doing shore bombardment. I was there 65, 66, and 67. I want to thank you and Linda for doing this show and for all the support you give us veterans here in Shasta County.
Well, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, but you know what? It is so easy. It's so easy doing that. Somebody said that earlier today, but I can tell you that it is so easy for us to do this, to go out there and keep moving and keep, you know, shows going and keep supporting our community because of the people here in the North State and people like the people here and so many other hundreds and thousands of people out there.
You guys drive us. And that's really bottom line here. Well, now that we've had, we've been able to, spread the love and our appreciation and take this moment to honor all those veterans. There's something that was so uncomfortable that's just under, I'm sure, all of our skin right now that has something to do with somebody that did something horrific in the military.
Yeah, yesterday, as you all know, at Fort Hood, Texas, home of the armored, I guess the armored divisions there, an Army major, and the only thing I can say is somebody masquerading as an Army major. He's not a soldier. This man was went and did a horrific act. He took two pistols into a deployment center, and he started shooting. He's killed 12 soldiers and one civilian. Wounded, I think another 30.
And counting.
There's 13 have died, and maybe another one. Before he was confronted by the first responder, who was a woman policeman, who literally got into a face-to-face shootout with him. And obviously it spent some time in the range because she put four rounds into him and knocked him down. She was also shot three or four times herself. But her heroism, it looks like right now, just from the reports I've got, is what saved more people from being killed. The only thing we know about it is about the person who did this, and again, I'm not going to say he's a soldier because a soldier wouldn't do this, is that he was he enlisted in the Army. The Army literally sent him to medical school. He graduated from medical school in like 2001, and he became a psychiatrist. I'm not sure about that one. And his specialty was post-traumatic stress. You know, one of the things that needs to be mentioned because it's a part of the story here is that he is a Muslim. It doesn't mean that all Muslims are bad. It doesn't mean that because somebody killed an abortion doctor was a conservative Christian, all conservative Christians are bad. However, this needs to be brought out because his name had hit the overhead because of some of the things he had written. Now, this is reports that I'm getting off the news lines and from reading. He had written something and put it on the internet likening terrorist bombers to soldiers and Marines who threw themselves on grenades to save their fellow servicemen. He likened them to that a terrorist bomber is similar to that, giving his life for other people. Well, this, to me, just being in the military for 30 years, or I would have only had to be in for a week, that would have been kind of like a red flag in front of my face. He also made other statements about us not being there to the point that either a sergeant major or the command said, you better lock it up, Major,
because this is not something that we're going to be talking about. You know, these guys are getting ready to deploy to combat, and you're saying we shouldn't be there. You're an officer. And he had been fighting for years not to be deployed, this way I understand it. He was getting ready to leave here soon to go over to the Middle East. She was sure that President Obama was going to end the war, so he was not going to have to go. He was going to have to go, and so yesterday he took two pistols and started shooting.
So I think after we all are kind of in the shock stage of, wow, this kind of thing goes on, and what a horrible blow to the fact that it's Veterans Day coming up, and this is somebody, and of course it's all over, like Carl said, all over the news, all over the internet. We thought maybe we would take the rest of the show, and if you have something that you need to say to just get something out, that here's your chance to just speak your voice
on anything you've heard,
if you have an opinion or a feeling or whatever, and that's why we're here.
So anybody have a comment or? Oh, okay.
I just want to say that one of his victims was a pregnant woman there in the depot.
I think that at this point when he started shooting, the only thing he was trying to do was kill as many people as possible. The report also we heard was he was saying Allah Akbar when he started it. Let me just say this too, and Rob, I don't know about you, but I know some others that may have served over there in the Middle East, is that we had Muslims in our units, good Americans. They fought right alongside, Catholics and Methodists and agnostics, so let's make sure is that we kind of like understand is that this is one person that did this, and not again. Throw out a blanket trying to cover everybody. Other statements, questions?
I was just thinking from what limited knowledge I know, the Muslim, if he had died as a result of that police officer dropping him, he would be a martyr. And since he did not die, he doesn't get the glory of a martyr. Is that true? One other thing, in all of our discussion this morning, of people we were thanking, and I personally want to throw my thanks out to them, they're not here, some of the writers, Patriot Guard, American Legion writers, we had the privilege this week, Carl, of being invited to schools to speak and be interviewed by children doing studies on the Revolutionary War, and there's other teachers and students who invited us this next week. If it weren't for the teachers, we may be speaking German or Japanese. But they're instilling in these kids what it is, and they're letting them talk to us one-on-one. So bravo for the teachers, and most of them are not vets, but they're bringing the vets in.
Well, that's good. And, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a veteran, right?
I don't know. I think that might be a good way to close the show.
I think we're getting close to it. Okay.
By the way, you have been listening to Free Fire Radio. We are. If you go to our website, freefireradio.com, you'll get to hear this. And we, of course, want to be interactive with everything that's going on in our community that we can support veterans, support the museum. This is great. Thank you again, Joe and Shelley from Tobacco and Brew. And remember, we do have tickets for Christmas for the Troops for November 21st.
Tomorrow's the Veterans Parade or Veterans Day Parade out at City of Shasta Lake or Shasta Lake City. Starts at 10 o'clock. You want to get out there early, though. They have breakfast. On the 7th in the evening, they have a free dinner for any veteran that's going on out at the... In Anderson at the Shasta.
That's the 8th.
That's
Sunday night.
That's Sunday night, and that's on the 8th, and it's out at the Anderson Fairgrounds. And that's for any veteran, it's free. I think anybody else, it costs $20. We're talking about on the 10th, of course, in the morning, is Breakfast for Heroes at 6:30 out of, I believe, Wind River. And then, of course, that's the Marine Corps birthday, and not to say anything about the... different services, but it is the Marine Corps birthday on November 10th, so we'll be celebrating that. And then, of course, the 11th at 11 o'clock out at the Veterans Cemetery, starting at 11 o'clock, and then 2 o'clock, Shasta College.
I'm sure there's other things going on that we haven't hit. Now, there is one other thing. Are we ready? It's going around the internet right now. If you go to YouTube, if you have a computer, it's called The Warrior's Song.
We'd like to play it for you first, if you haven't heard it.
And see if you've heard it. If not, just go to YouTube and put down Warrior's Song. And thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks.
We appreciate it so much.
Right.